Well, the kids are finding their seats. We can turn our Bibles to John chapter 15, verses 1 through 16, which is found on page 1676 in your pew Bibles. John 15, 1 through 16. As we get prepared to read the word of the Lord together, let's go to him in a time of prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds this morning to what your word has to teach us out of John chapter 15. Guide us, Lord, and direct us. Help us to know and understand all things that you teach. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. John 15, verses 1 through 16. Hear the word of the Lord. I am the vine. And my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. So ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. How many of us know what this is over here? What is this? It's a fan, right? And fans, when they're running, they blow air, right? How many of us remember sitting in church as little kids and hearing that noise? Only multiplied by a few times because we didn't have things like air conditioning. I know there's a lot of younger people here today that can't even fathom what that would be like to sit in a church on a Sunday with the windows open and fans running and the sweat pouring down off of your head. My dad tells a story when he was a little boy in Orange City. Reverend Kohlenbrenner It was a very, very hot day, and he preached a very good sermon. My dad still remembers all of it yet to this day. It was over 100 degrees in the church, and Reverend Kohlenbrenner says to the congregation, "If you think it's hot in here, hell's going to be a lot hotter. Amen." And that was it. The sermon was over. But fans, we know, blow air. And as long as the fan is connected to the power source, it blows, right? Now, what happens when we disconnect the fan from the power source? It quits, right? It doesn't do what a fan does. Is this an effective fan? Would you choose to sit in front of this on a hot day, disconnected from the power source, just sitting there? None of us would. We know this. It's not rocket science. I'm not telling us something that we don't already know. If we're hooked into power, the fan functions and the fan works. It blows air and it cools whomever is in front of it or whatever it is in front of it. It also falls off because it rattles. But that's what fans do. They're hooked to a power source, they run, they're effective. What are we hooked to? Fans and people have a few things in common. We have to be fed. We have to be given energy so that we can function, so that we can do what we do. So where do you get your energy from? What are you connected to? That's really the question that our scripture passage this morning is trying to get us to understand. That's what Jesus is talking about here. You know, a fan minus the power doesn't work. People minus being connected to the vine aren't going to be able to do the things that they can do when they're connected to Christ. So the vine, according to our scripture passage, is the source of power that every believer needs in their life so that they can bear quality fruit. Here in John 15, we are encouraged to understand that as Christians, we are grafted in. That means we're connected to Jesus Christ, who is our power source. So I want us to think about what kind of fruit we're bearing in our lives, what we're hooked to, what's our power source, and how do we function? Where does our power come from? In John 15, we've got five things that we can expect to experience when we are grafted in, when we're connected to Jesus. So we're going to look at these five things we find in our scripture passages that we can expect when we're connected or when we're grafted in. So let's look at those five, and you'll find these on the screen and in the bulletin as well. The first one, the first thing that we can expect when we are grafted in is that we should expect to be alive. Right? If we're plugging the fan into the wall and it turns on, we expect that, right? Because there's electricity that makes it go. If we're connected to Christ, like Kylie talked about in our children's message, there's all this potential. And when the right heat, when the right connection is there, we can live, explode into, and be something much better than we are. So we should expect, like I said, to be alive if we're connected to Jesus. Now, hey, that's really good news. It's extremely good news, don't you think? In a world that's full of death, we can expect to be alive. Everything around us is dying, but you and I can expect to be alive. John 15 makes it clear that if we're grafted into the vine, we're alive. If we're not, we're dead. We're disconnected. We're not worth anything. We cannot function. We cannot be fully alive apart from our connection to Jesus Christ. So when we're grafted into Christ and we're experiencing the power of God fill us day after day, moment after moment, things begin to happen. Power begins to be pumped into us, an endless supply of power. And greater than any power source that the world has to offer will give us the power to live and be fully alive. Now that's the good news this morning. The first thing we should expect is a radical change in what life is. We can be alive in a world full of dying things. What's the second thing that we can expect? I'm getting excited. I can be fully alive. I can be different than the world around me. Everything is dying. Everything's coming to an end, and I can be alive. Well, what the second thing is, we should expect, if we're connected to the vine, to bear fruit. I mean, what would be the point if we are connected to the vine and we don't bear fruit? Then we're going to get cut out. We're going to get pruned. The point of being connected to the vine is to absolutely bear fruit. So I want us to think about it this way. what comes into us is what should be coming out of us. So what comes in is what should come out. That makes sense, doesn't it? If you put water in a cup and you tip the cup, what's going to come out of the cup? Snow? No. Pop, right? If you put water in the cup and you tip the cup, pop's going to come out, correct? No. If you put water in the cup and you tip the cup, water will come out of the cup. We're like cups, people. God's filling us with his stuff, his power, his grace, his love. And so what should come out of us is what comes into us. So if God is filling us with his love, his power, his blessing, his grace, his compassion, his patience, his kindness, his peace, his gentleness, his goodness, his faithfulness, and his joy, then that's exactly what we should expect to come out of us. Right? Does that make sense? If God's putting all those things in, there's not room for anything else, and that's what should be funneling through us or coming out of us. So we should be bearing the things that God is putting into our lives. That's why it's so important for us to be able to answer that first question, where does your power come from? What is filling you? Is the power source a good one? Have any of you ever experienced, and I know maybe not a lot around here, but have you ever experienced what they call a brownout, where the lights flicker and things speed up and slow down? They lots of times have this out on the West Coast, I find out. And they have it in third world countries, which you make your own connections to that. But these brownouts that happen, it's not good for appliances, it's not good for anything that's electrically driven because the power surges, it goes up and down. What's the power source that we're hooked into? Are we experiencing surging in our life? Are we having brownouts? Is it because we're kind of not all the way plugged into Jesus Christ and we're trying to plug into other things? What we need to know is if we're fully plugged in, if we're fully connected, what's being put in is what should come out. I mean, Adam and Eve experienced this in the very beginning, in the Garden of Eden. God gives Adam and Eve everything that they're going to need, a garden together. They have each other. But there's this tree that they're told not to eat from. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God says if you eat from that, it will destroy you. It will ruin you because it will fill you with things that ought not to be there. And so what do Adam and Eve do? They go ahead and they eat from this tree. They begin to eat and, oh, it's tasty, and it fills them. But it fills them with things that ought not to be there. And so then what comes out of Adam and Eve is not the pure good things that God designed to come out of Adam and Eve, but it's brokenness. They were filling themselves with what was not good for them. It brought sin into their lives. It brought brokenness into their lives. And it changed the kind of fruit they were bearing. Do any of you remember the story about Adam and Eve's first two children? Cain and Abel? They were so excited, Adam and Eve, when their children were born. They gave him these special names, Cain and Abel, and they had meaning. The meaning of it was that Eve, with the help of God, was able to give birth to another human being. But in Cain and Abel's relationship, there was this brokenness because Adam and Eve had eaten this fruit from this tree that put not good stuff into them. And what happened to Cain and Abel? Cain killed Abel, right? Here you had all the good, all the perfect, all the wonderful, and then sin happens, and because sin happens, the fruit they began to bear was broken fruit. It didn't work the way it was supposed to. Life was taken, life was destroyed, life was no longer given. Clearly, if we're connected to the vine, we're going to bear things different than we would bear if we are connected to some other power source. So it's important for us to find ourselves connected to the vine. We should expect then, if we're connected to the vine, to bear a specific kind of fruit that is godly fruit. Well, what's the third thing we can expect? First, remember, was we can be alive. Second is that we should bear good fruit. The third thing that we can expect is that we are going to be a part of the body. What does that mean? Well, think about any tree, any vine, whether it's a grapevine or a tomato vine, whatever. Think about that. How many of you have seen those with a single branch? Anybody seen like a tomato with only one branch? Or a tree with only one branch? I know Charlie Brown's Christmas tree was pretty close, but it still had more than one branch, right? They don't come that way. God didn't design trees, didn't design vines, only to have a single branch. There's many branches on the vine. So if we're going to be a part of the vine, if we're going to be a part of a tree, we should expect to be surrounded by multiple branches, not just be the only one. You know, for me, that's great news, because then I get to be a part of a community. Being part of a community is something special. Then we're there to support and encourage each other. We're not alone. We're not singular vines. I like to know that I'm not alone. Too often in life, there are so many opportunities that you and I have that we feel alone. How many of you have ever felt alone before in your life? Be honest. All of us have had those types of feelings. Been alone. How many of you have ever felt alone in a crowded room full of people or a crowded city? I sure have. Every time I go to Minneapolis, I feel that way. I feel completely alone. Why is it that we feel that way? Here we're surrounded by all kinds of people, but we feel totally alone because we don't know anybody, because there's nobody that we feel connected to. It isn't enough just to be around a whole bunch of people. We have to engage in and do life with, because we're drawing from the exact same source. That's important, folks. It's not enough just to be surrounded, but we have to recognize and understand that we're drawing life from the exact same source. How many of you hear the air conditioner running this morning? Yeah? That's hooked to electricity, by the way. And do you know, if you and I could, crawl into the air conditioner and into the little wire that hooks the air conditioner to the power, we could go from that power line up to the power grid, and from that power grid, we could connect to all of our homes. All of our homes are connected to that same exact source. Think about that. You hear the air conditioner running here, it might be running at your home, and it's drawing from the same source. So if we could get on this little highway we call the electrical lines, we could visit every one of our houses, because we're all connected together to the same power grid. I want us to see our engagement with each other like that. We're all connected together. We all need each other. We're all connected to the same source. The electricity that we have here at church is not different than the electricity you have at your house. It's the same stuff. The same thing that we are connected to if we're a part of the vine, And we're branches of the vine. We're connected to the same source. The same stuff that's flowing into each one of us and flowing out of us is the same stuff, folks. So we're a part of a body. We're part of being connected to one another. And this is great news. Because we can support and encourage each other. We can do life together. Look around this morning. You got permission. You don't have to face forward. Just look around at the people around you. Now, I wish that we could see the people who are listening on KQAD this morning and those that are watching on Facebook and YouTube. Because we are all a part of the same body. We're all connected. We're all drawing from the same source. Now, it gets bigger than that. Think about Christians all around the world today who gathered together to worship. We're all drawing from the same source. We are all together. We're all part of the body of Christ. And what we can do together is so much more efficient and better than what we could possibly do by ourselves. We have to see the value of community, people. It is so important to be together. And I would think after experiencing what we experienced the previous year, when we were all under house arrest because of COVID-19, we could even better today see the value of each other. Now, I know we're not all perfect. I know we don't all do everything all right all of the time. But the more and more we can support and encourage each other, the more and more we can be connected together to the same vine, the more and more power of Jesus that you and I will have surging through us, and we will see that we're all part of the same body. And what a blessing. Because who wants to be alone? Who wants to be the only branch? That's why it's so good to have brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, because alone is not better than together. Let's look at the fourth one. The fourth thing that we can expect, and this is a good one, we can expect to be loved. If we're grafted into Jesus, if we're connected to the vine, you and I can expect to be loved. Look at what Jesus says in our passage. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Could you hear Jesus say that to you over and over again? Because I could. I could sit at Jesus' feet and hear him repeat that phrase over and over again. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. God loves us. God loves us deeply. And being loved feels great. If we're loved by Jesus, it gives us this incredible sense of security. And I guess the only way for me to kind of understand that is to really understand this from the fact that God is our Heavenly Father. And I think about when I was a little boy and I had things happen to me that weren't always that fun. I can remember falling and knocking out my front tooth on the driveway. I can remember getting my finger pinched more than once in the car door. You remember those big heavy doors from the 1970s on cars? I can remember getting my finger smashed in there more than one time. You know, every time things like that happened, I can remember my little sisters picking on me. No, okay, I'm probably going too far. But I can remember any time that I had a problem as a child. We got lots of little kids in our church. Never once did I call my congressman in Washington, D.C., and sit down and visit with them about what I had wrong in my life. I didn't do that. I didn't call the police when I got my finger smashed in the door. Any ideas where I ran to when I got hurt as a little boy? Mom and Dad. There I found my security. I didn't run to a stranger. I didn't go somewhere else. I went to my mom and dad. I can remember even the time I got lost in Orange City, Iowa, which easy to get lost when you're 5 years old at the Tulip Festival in Orange City, Iowa. All I was concerned about when I was lost is finding my mom and dad. And that's all they were concerned about. I wanted to go to that place of security, that place where I knew I would be loved. Folks, that's our relationship with Jesus. That's our relationship with God. He's our Heavenly Father. He's that place, that perfect Father that we can run to and we can find security in, and we know beyond doubt that we are loved. Isn't that good news? We can expect to be loved. We can expect to be cared about and cared for. Being connected to the vine means that we are hooked to the one that loves us absolutely the most. That's good news. Our last thing that we can expect, if we're connected to the vine, it means that we're chosen. Think about that for a moment. Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Jesus chose each one of us. He willingly suffered and died on the cross for each of us. You know, knowing that we're chosen, it empowers us to be connected. It empowers us to feel like, well, there's good things that are a part of our lives. In fact, it should help us understand if we're chosen, there's a purpose. Right? When we are playing on the playground as little kids and we're playing a game, usually the people that pick the teams choose the people they choose for a purpose. Right? I don't know always what the purpose is. Sometimes maybe the purpose is to be nice, and maybe some little child is picking teams and they're picking all the kids they know are always picked last. And their purpose is to pick them first to make them feel good. That sometimes happens. Rarely, but sometimes happens. Other times, it's purely carnal on the playground where the two people picking are picking people based on their skill set. How good they are at the particular game that they are going to play that day, right? Think about that. Christ picks us. He chooses us for a purpose. Well, what's Christ's purpose? I don't think it's because we're really good at the particular game we're going to play on the playground today. That's a human reason for picking. And I don't think he picks us because, well, he feels sorry for us because we're the kids that always get picked last. Because that's not true for many of us. So why does Christ pick us? Why are we chosen? Why has he chosen us? What's the purpose? Well, the purpose is simple. He has planned in advance good works for us to do. He sees the potential that is within us. Like Kylie was telling the kids this morning. They were looking at that bag of popcorn that's not popped. You and I just see corn in a bag, unpopped, and in many ways unedible. But Christ, when he looks at us, he doesn't just see corn in a bag. He sees the potential that exists within us. And he wants to unleash that potential, and that's why he's chosen us. He said, "I can make you into something special. Something great, and so I choose you." Christ has it planned in advance for us to do some amazing things. And so we are a part of Christ. We have been chosen for the good that Christ has for us to do. That's why we've been grafted in, people. We've been given this new life and this new hope and the opportunity to change and bear good fruit, to be something more than we are by ourselves. See, what happens is grafting in to the vine, grafting into Jesus, changes us. So we can expect to be chosen, loved, part of a body, bear fruit, and be fully alive. But we also need to understand that we're going to be changed. Being grafted in changes us, and it changes us in a couple of ways as we close this morning. The first way it changes us when we're grafted in to the vine, it changes our identity. Think about that for a moment. Our identity changes once we're grafted in to the vine. Who we are, we become somebody different. If you've got your Bibles open, in verse 15, Christ says that he no longer refers to us or calls us servants, right? Instead, now we are known as friends. Alive, loved, chosen, connected, fruit-bearing friends. Our identity has changed completely because we're living completely different lives. Now, I know there's things that we've done, there's things that we've said that are completely wrong. That's a part of our past. That's a part of who we were. But in Christ, we are now changed. We are given a new identity. We are a part of something that we no longer, or that we never were a part of before. We've disconnected from whatever tree, branch, vine that we were a part of, and we've been grafted in. We've been connected, and now we will bear the fruit that comes from the source that we are connected to. It's really amazing when you think about it. We have the opportunity to be wholly different. We don't have to be marred by the things that we did in the past, but we have this new identity that comes to us from God. And he welcomes us into this new place, and he gives us this blessing, this new day. And we're accepted, and we're given value. Value that will last. And we have a role, and we have a family, and we have a hope. And we're no longer strangers, but we're loved, and we're a part of this community. Think about the beauty of that picture. Think about the change that God brings when he gives us a new identity. What we once were is no longer who we currently are. Do we hear the beauty in that? Are we awake enough to hear the truth in the fact that God is going to take you and take me and take everybody and graft us in to a new vine and give us a new and better life? What a blessed gift. What a hope that we have this new identity. What's the other thing that grafting in does for us? It empowers us to bear fruit that will last. There is so much in our world today that is love me now and forget me later. Nothing in our world seems to last. And think about it. Jeans wear out. Cars break down. Right? Wood rots. Metal rusts. Cement cracks. And businesses come and go. Very little of what we have today will be anything but an antique 50 years from now. Think about that. It didn't even take that long for cars to become an antique. But think about that. The things you have, the stuff you own, 50 years from now will be at best an antique where people will look at it and say, look at how they lived so long ago. Go to museums, some of the older folks that are here that are over 50, and you will find things in there that are from your childhood. Right? Amazing how much life changes. And in our world today, if somebody does something good, they're remembered and they're celebrated for only a moment, and then we're on to the next thing. Right? How many of us can name the person that scored the winning run in the World Series in 2015? Anybody? I can't. I have no idea. How many of you can remember who scored the winning touchdown in your last football game when you were a senior in high school? Maybe only if it was you, you would remember, right? I can't tell you. I can't tell you who made the last second winning shot at any game, and I was a part of some pretty amazing basketball games as a kid. Can't tell you any of those things. Because we're celebrate it now and forget about it later culture. But think about this. God is giving us the opportunity to bear fruit that will last. Wow. Lasting fruit. I like the sound of that. Because fruit is good. Fruit is tasty. Fruit is beneficial to people who consume it. And just think about the fact that you and I can have the opportunity to make a difference in the lives of other people that will last. But it's not going to be focused on worldly stuff. It's going to be focused on godly stuff. So often in life, we feel like everything we've done was for nothing. But God says, no, no. That is not true when you're grafted into me. Everything you do is for me. I think about that and I can get excited about that. My life can have more meaning than just for a moment or just for a day. My life can bear fruit that will last and last and last. And you and I, we can all have a kingdom impact in our world. Why would we waste our time trying to go after things that don't last? Instead, we can be connected to the vine and we can have a lasting impact and we can be a part of something much grander, something much bigger than ourselves. You and I have the opportunity to be a tool in the hand of a master craftsman. God will allow us to be his tools. I have a shirt, and I don't know, maybe some of you have seen me wear it around once in a while. It says, I'm a tool. Now, when I was a kid, if you got called a tool, that was not a compliment. I see Kyle smiling. Kyle knows what I'm talking about, don't you, Kyle? I'm a tool was not a compliment. But today, for me, my I'm a tool shirt is a compliment because I am a tool in the hands of God, and you and I can be tools in his hands. You and I can walk around and be used by God day after day, moment after moment, and the work that we will be used for will be work that will last. Think about that. Wouldn't you like to be a part of something that lasts? What a blessing that God promises us. Today, you and I have the opportunity, everybody listening, anybody in our whole world at this moment has the opportunity to be grafted in to the true vine. Now, maybe some of us are here this morning or listening on the radio or listening on YouTube Facebook, and we were grafted in years and years and years ago, and we've been a part of the vine for most of our lives. Then our passage says we need to remain. Remember, apart from the vine, we're nothing but dead. When we're connected to the vine, that's when we're fully alive. That's when we're really bearing fruit. That's when change is a part of our lives. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be alive. And I want to be alive with all of you. So let's remain, or let's get connected. But let's be grafted in. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we pray that you will guide us this morning and graft us in and make us a part of the vine. Help us to see that apart from you, we have no power, we have no hope, we have no joy. Help us, Lord, to be drawing our power only from you so that the fruit we can produce is amazing. Because you've planned it all in advance for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.